Good afternoon, Friday Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan. During the Ag Outlook Forum, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue made it clear that farmers would not receive another round of Market Facilitation Program payments. This morning, President Donald Trump tweeted about the program, saying if formerly targeted farmers need additional aid until such time as the trade deal with China, Mexico, Canada, and others fully kick in, that aid will be provided by the federal government.
In an interview with the Red River Farm Network, North Dakota Senator John Hovind wouldn't say if there's another round of Market Facilitation Program payments coming following the current third tranche.
Well, we'll see. I think, you know, obviously, we're getting the existing MFP out, the remaining portion, and then we're going to have to see, you know, how much coverage we get through the disaster assistance, and also what the impact of the trade agreements are, and how, you know, long it takes to get some of that impact out there. So that'll probably dictate what we need to do next.
And trade aid was part of the discussion during a roundtable with North Dakota farmers in Fargo yesterday.
Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo thinks China trade woes are creeping back into the grain markets.
The President Trump tweeting out that there would be additional funds for farmers this next crop year if our trade deals didn't work as far as physical commodities being bought. I think the market has probably matched that up with the USDA Ag Forum, where they did not put in the Phase 1 trade deal for the demand side for our grains. So I think they're saying 1 and 1 equals 2 here, that means that China is not going to buy anything from us, and the market's pricing that in accordingly.
Zuzulo says the cattle market is a little more clear-cut.
Packer margins are there for cattle, but I think there's a few things standing in the way, and that's why the cash market has not been able to perform, and therefore the futures is falling back. We have a cattle on feed report on Friday's after Friday's close. We also had beef weekly export sales down 10% from the four-week average. I'm also wondering, based upon some of the hog clients I've spoken with here, that maybe we have too many hogs to kill in the form of weights. We are up about 7 pounds versus a year ago.
INTL FC Stone market analyst Philip Clausen says the livestock market is seeing some selling pressure ahead of this afternoon's cattle on feed report.
Seeing a little bit of a setback. You know, hogs are just a little bit softer, but more cattle. You got live cattle down. You're close to, you're from 1% to 2%, depending on which contract you're looking at. So I'm seeing a little bit of a pullback there as well after, we did see a little bit of a rally here at the beginning of the week. Here we close out the week back to where we started.
USDA says sales of pork for the week ending February 13th totaled 23,700 metric tons, which is down 17% from the previous week and 22% less than the four-week average. Sales are mainly going to Mexico, Japan, Canada, Colombia, and Chile. Exports of 42,200 metric tons are down 2% from the previous week and 3% less than the four-week average. Primary destinations of pork are China, Mexico, Japan, South Korea, and Canada.
USDA's weekly export sales report showed net corn sales of 1.2 million metric tons for the week ending February 13th. That's 29% more than the previous week, 12% above the four-week average. Net soybean sales are reported at 494,000 tons, down 23% from the previous week. It's also 22% below the four-week average. Net wheat export sales are reported at 346,000 tons, 46% less than the previous week, 40% below the prior four-week average.
The National Pork Producers Council and 30 state pork producer associations are asking Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue to take additional prevention measures on African swine fever, or ASF. The groups want USDA to restrict imports of organic soy products for animal feed from all ASF-positive countries because organic soy products can maintain the virus for longer periods of time. United Soybean Board CEO Polly Rowland voiced her support of the request, saying the safety and quality of U.S. soy products are a top priority. ASF has not been detected in the U.S. at this time.
Sunshine and temperatures in the 30s are forecast for the next few days, and that should help settle the snow in the standing cornfields a bit and allow farmers to get back into the field.
I saw some guys taking stuff off this week when it hit 24 degrees, so I assume there'll be a lot more activity going to happen here these next 4 or 5 days.
And that's Jason Hansen, who operates Rock and Roll Agronomy. He says conditions vary across the state of North Dakota.
March will be interesting to see what we get for temperatures and water movement. I think where we've got a lot more snow in the state, everybody you talk to, there is still water movement activity out in the western part of the state with very little snow. Kind of concerned that everything's froze down pretty quite a bit with frost. So they'll be see what happens there with their moisture come springtime. But yeah, that's probably the number one concern every day getting closer to spring is what's it going to look like when it's time to go.
Tillage will be a challenge for growers this spring.
There's a lot of conditions that we haven't seen in a long time, and some unfortunately we have seen lately. It's going to be wet. There's a lot of residue out there.
Dave McSparren is a territory manager for Dick Hansen Sales with a lineup that includes Salford tillage equipment. McSparren is having a busy sales season.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate with what we've seen so far this spring. The used machinery is going quickly. Our turnaround time for new machinery is still reasonable that we can get some things out there, but that's shortening up too because the build book at the factories are getting pretty well tightened up.
Former Iowa Governor and U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack will oversee Purdue Pharma's marketing efforts to make sure that the OxyContin maker is not overstating the benefits of its opioid painkillers or downplays the dangers of addiction. Purdue Pharma announced the appointment Friday as part of its federal bankruptcy proceedings. Vilsack worked on rural opioid issues as Agriculture Secretary in the Obama administration. Vilsack currently is President and Chief Executive Officer of the U.S. Dairy Export Council, and Vilsack is to report to Purdue's board and the court. Purdue has not said publicly how much he will be paid. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news here on the Red River Farm Network. The deadline for farmers to make the ARC or PLC election is March 16th. According to North Dakota Farm Service Agency Program Director Laura Heinrich, the majority of those decisions still need to be made.
Right now we have about 40% of the farms completed in North Dakota. So we have a long ways to go. We have about 60% to be completed within the next few weeks here before March 16th. And they may need to get additional signatures to complete that election. So, you know, if they need to contact somebody who might be down in Arizona, we want them to get in the door as soon as possible to get the paperwork going.
The program election that is being made is applicable for the 2019 and 2020 program years.
We want to make sure that they make that program election for 2019 because if they don't make a program election by March 16th, they'll not be eligible for payments in 2019.
A Farm Bill calculator is available online from North Dakota State University Extension to evaluate the decision between ARC and PLC.
A bill to establish and fund a farm safety grant program was heard in the Minnesota House Agriculture, Food, Finance, and Policy Division yesterday. The Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry Commissioner Nancy Lepink testified.
I see every injury and serious injury and fatality that occurs in this state comes to my email box every single day. To me, that's the failure of my agency because all of these accidents are preventable. There's not a single person who gets injured and killed in this state and some of them with very simple things that could be done, that those accidents and injuries could not be prevented. So I would like to hear from you to do whatever it is that my agency can do to be a partner in this effort.
The bill is currently laid over, still in committee. If there is a supplemental budget bill, lawmakers may consider funds toward the grant program.
By the end of next week, Minnesota lawmakers should have a better idea of the state budget forecast. Minnesota House Agriculture, Food, Finance, and Policy Division Chair Gene Poppe says if there are additional funds available, those are one-time dollars.
Looking at that, having those extra dollars, but also then how much the Department of Ag or our committee would receive. You know, if there's a pie full of money that are extra dollars, you know, we might get a slice of that pie. And so we'll know more, you know, certainly by the beginning of March we'll be more in tune with the kind of money we're talking about, and then eventually, probably not right away, but sometime down the line, we'll know if there's a supplemental budget line for us, if there's some additional money for Department of Ag and for our committee.
National FFA Week kicks off tomorrow. South Dakota FFA State President Shelby Ruland says there will be a special guest visiting South Dakota FFA chapters.
Courtney Lehman, she is currently serving as the National Secretary. We get to go ahead and travel around the state with her. So we're actually going to Scotland and we're going to Milbank with Courtney. And then there's this really neat opportunity that we get to go back to the college campus. And we're inviting the FFA Alumni Club to come and meet her. So something that we haven't done in a while is also getting that alumni and getting those college kids back into FFA, which I'm really excited about.
Ruland says National FFA Week is a time to celebrate.
Even if you are, you know, an alumni and you're in FFA, just also supporting the members that are in it now and showing your support, maybe bringing your jacket into work and hanging it up by your chair or by the door and just, like, showing that you have a love for FFA. I think that's something that's really important to realize, like, you don't have to be an active member to celebrate National FFA Week.
More than 700,000 FFA members from across the country will be participating in National FFA Week activities on the local, state, and national levels. National FFA Week begins Saturday, wraps up on February 29th.
Deere & Company is reporting stronger than expected first quarter earnings of $517 million on first quarter revenue of $6.53 billion. Deere's net income rose 4% on a 6% decline in net sales. Worldwide net sales and revenue are down 4%. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Mikkel Pates. Mikkel, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week for next week?
Well, it's FFA time, and so this is a feature story about kind of an unusual FFA exchange program between Litchfield, Minnesota, and Hartford, Alabama. And the groups exchange delegations that go back and forth for the National Peanut Festival in November in Hartford. And then come here from Hartford to Minnesota in February for the Peanut Butter and Milk Festival at Litchfield. So it's something that they've been doing for about 50 years, an interesting FFA cultural exchange program. I think the effect of seeing how people do irrigation or how they have different sized fields, I think a lot of the fields down in the Alabama area are 40 acres, and up here they're much larger, and I think it's sort of just kind of eye-popping both directions. My favorite moment was watching when after they'd been on snowmobiling and looking at ice houses for fishing and out in the cold, they were having lunch, and everybody ran out into the outside of the restaurant after lunch to make sure that they got pictures of themselves with snow falling. They'd not been around with snow falling before, and these are kids and adults, so kind of the culture shock of things that we find ordinary are new, and maybe it helps us look at things in with new eyes too.
Well, that sounds interesting, Mikkel. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. March Minneapolis wheat down 4 at 525.5. March Chicago wheat down 8 at 552. March Kansas City wheat down 5. March corn down 1.75 at 376.75. December corn down 2.25 at 386.25. March beans down 3.75 at 889. November beans down 1.25 at 916.25. In livestock markets, February live cattle down 12 cents at 119.97. April down 95 cents. March feeder cattle down 50 cents at 140.30. April down 45 cents. April lean hogs up 5 cents at 66.92. Taking a look at the farm calendar, there's still lots on the calendar here in this winter meeting season. Be sure to check it out at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.